So, Father, we just pray for our Korean brothers and sisters. God, meet them in their place of hunger. And I just pray that you would form them into a healthy, strong, vibrant church, and that you would take that heart of worship and that you would multiply it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So thank you guys for praying for me while I was gone last week. It was really, really good, really, really fun. God did good stuff. So I want to talk to you today about relying on the Lord. And this is just kind of one of those foundational messages. And this comes straight out of my own Bible reading, just in my own time with the Lord. This is probably 2 weeks ago now. I was reading this passage about King Asa, and ministered to me so much, really just spoke to my heart. And I just think, I'm like, you know, I just feel like talking about that. So here I am. I'm going to talk about it. So just a quick synopsis, history lesson, so you know what's going on. How many of you know, like, Israel, at one point, because of compromise and disobeying God and turning to idolatry, they actually split into two different nations. And there was a, I'm going to pretend this is a map, okay? So here's the Mediterranean Sea. On this side, this is the line. Mediterranean Sea is over here. So you have Israel, let's say right here. And there's a northern kingdom, which was Israel, okay? And then there was a southern kingdom, which was Judah. Okay, so this is the northern kingdom of Israel was basically in idolatry their entire existence. Once they broke in, they were all one nation, but once they broke into two nations, they basically never had a time where they were not in idolatry, and they had a king who was actually leading them into idolatry, and it was did awful things. Judah, the southern kingdom, was back and forth. Like, sometimes they'd have a good king that would be like, we need to serve the Lord and honor our covenant with him, and God would bless them. Then other times, they'd get another king, and he would kind of lead them back into idolatry, and they just kind of went back and forth between idolatry and righteousness, honoring the Lord. And the thing is that Israel, like Judah, Israel, they had a covenant relationship with God. How many of you know there's only one God? And they knew him. They had a covenant relationship with him. And this is basically to sum up their covenant. And you know, when there's a covenant, that's an agreement between two different parties. And both parties make commitments to one another. You know, we talk about a marriage covenant, like I'll be faithful to you and only to you, and the other ones, and I'll be faithful to you and only to you, till death do us part, etc. The covenant that God had with Israel is they were to, like, worship him and him alone. And he's like, don't worship idols. He actually told them, don't, like, all the other nations, what they do is they make political alliances with other nations to kind of have each other's back. And so if they go into war, these nations go into war together. It's like, you mess with me, you got to take on my backup as well. You guys with me? And so it's still this way a lot of times today. But God, it was different for Israel. The Lord's like, you don't need the armies of the other nations. You have me. You have me with you. He was like, you are not to make alliances, treaties, covenants with other nations in that way where you're depending upon them to protect you from invasion. And he says, and you're not to look to other gods. He's like, turn to me for everything. I am all that you need. I'll be with you. If you will seek me and not seek idols, if you will trust in me instead of leaning on your own strength and trying to make political alliances to strengthen yourself, he says, I'll be your protector. I'll be the champion, the warrior in your midst that will give you victory. I will protect you from invasion. I will provide you with all that you need. I will bless you. I am everything that you need. And that was the basis of their relationship with God. But the problem is, over and over again, these kings would come into power and they'd be faced with a situation. And instead of turning to the Lord, they would make an alliance with another country. Or they would turn to an idol. Like, maybe if I worship this God, he'll bless our crops, and then we'll have a bountiful harvest. And the Lord, the one true God, is going, I told you if you would not do that and worship me, I, the one who has control, would give you the rain you need, the sun you need, and give you a good harvest. Amen? So they've gone through this period at this point. We're going to come into the story where they've just been, you know, many unfaithful kings. And I just see the heart of the Lord. He's like, man, I love my people. Like, I like it when we're together. I like it when we do this together. He's like, but you keep abandoning me and worshiping other gods, making alliances with other nations. And then King Asa comes into power. And I'm going to pick up in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Once an Ethiopian named Zerah attacked Judah. That's the southern kingdom where Asa was leading. Listen to this. With an army of 1 million men and 300 chariots. Can you imagine the size of an army? We don't even have 1 million people in the entire state of South Dakota. You have like 800 something thousand people that live here. Can you imagine an army of 1 million people? I mean, you can't even see the end of a crowd that size. Plus, they had 300 chariots, which was like tanks in their day. And they advanced to the town of Merasha against Judah. And so Asa deployed his armies for battle in the valley north of Merasha. I love this. And Asa did what the others before him, many of them did not do. It says, Asa cried out to the Lord his God. Listen to this prayer. This is a good prayer. No one, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we trust in you alone. It is in your name that we have come against this vast horde, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let mere men prevail against you. Listen to this. So the Lord defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah. That's called blessed are the poor in spirit, that prayer. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit, it's to be completely dependent upon the Lord. You're not relying on your own strength. You're not turning to the people who seem like they got all the money and say, hey, I need you to help me out with my financial need. Or you're not turning to the people who look like they're all powerful and saying, hey, I'm going to make an alliance with you and you're going to be my protector. It's like, you're like, Lord, I have nothing apart from you. I can do nothing apart from you. I look to you. You're my rock. You're my deliverer. You're my provider. You're my everything. You guys with me? And that's what Asa's doing here. He gets faced with this impossible situation, and he goes back to the covenant, and he calls upon the Lord, and he says, God, I'm not a smart enough military leader. None of my leaders are smart enough to defeat an army that size. We don't have the resource. I'm not going to go to some other country to kind of help us out. I'm going to you. You promised that you'd be the Lord our God. And the Lord answered him and defeated the Ethiopians in the presence of Asa and the army of Judah, and the enemy fled. Not only that, but Asa and his army pursued them as far as Gerar, and so many Ethiopians fell that they were unable to rally. They were destroyed by the Lord and his army, and the army of Judah carried off a vast amount of plunder. I love that. So the enemy attacks the people of God, and not only does God rescue them from the attack, but they come away more blessed than before the battle started. Amen? I'm going to tell you what, that's how spiritual warfare is. Many, many times, like the enemy will attack, and we call upon the Lord, and then God brings us through the battle, and on the other side, we're actually better off than before the battle ever started. And it's like this message to the enemy, like, stupid, why did I attack them? The reason he attacks is because sometimes it works. Because sometimes the people of God don't turn to the Lord and fight the battle the way God tells us to do it. And they let the enemy win. But when we turn to the Lord, God gives us victory and we get to leave with lots of plunder. Amen. So this happens. There's a great victory. The army of Judah, they're coming back to Judah, man, with spoils. They got plunder. They're happy. They're like, man, this worked out good. But listen to how the Lord responds. This is 2 Chronicles 15 now. Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Obed, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. Listen to me, Asa, he shouted. Listen, all you people of Judah and Benjamin. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Just meditate on that sentence. Does that sound anything like, abide in me and I will abide in you? Whenever you seek him, you will find him. But if you abandon him, he will abandon you. Just meditate. Like that could preach the whole message right there, that sentence. I see this as God, he's excited. Because for a long time, his people aren't relating to him in the way that they were supposed to. And instead of looking to him, they're looking to others or to idols to meet needs that God alone was designed to meet. They're supposed to turn to the Lord, but instead they're turning to idols or turning to other people. And then the Lord, he longs for that relationship with his people. He likes interacting with us about the stuff that we need. That's why he calls us to turn to him. And then finally, a king comes along who turns to him again. And they've won the victory. They're on the way back. God can't even wait. He sends the prophet to meet them on their way back. And God says, hey, listen up. God has a message for you. And I just see this as like God is excited. Like when I read this, I just see the happy heart of God getting happy. And he's just going, God's like, yes. He's like, come on, guys. Let's do this. I'm with you. You did it right. You looked to me. You called to me. And you saw what I did. Let's keep doing this together. Let's keep living together like this. Let's keep this kind of covenant interaction going on. I love this. I like this. I want to be your God. You are my people. And I just see the happy heart of God saying, yes, finally, you're doing it again. And God's like, hey, let's keep doing it. He's like, if Asa, because this is at the beginning of King Asa's reign. He's like, Asa, if you'll keep doing what you just did, then I'm going to keep doing what I just did. If you'll stay with me, then I will stay with you. But he says, if you abandon me like all those other kings before you, I'll abandon you like I did all the other kings before you. Is this making sense? Verse 3 says, for a long time, Israel was without the true God. Without a priest to teach them, because they were in idolatry, without the law to instruct them. But whenever they were in trouble and turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him out, they found him. So there's these, because this is the history with Israel. They'd go through times, read the book of Judges, you know, where they're worshiping idols and God abandons them and hands them over to their enemies. And then they're like, this is terrible. And they turn to the Lord, God help us. And he rescues them, right? And then they get comfortable and they're like, yeah, everything's going good. And they start worshiping the idols and getting in sin again. And then they cry out, this is horrible. And then God rescues them. It's back and forth. It's over and over again. And this is what God's talking about here. He's like, but whenever they turned to the Lord, they found him. During those dark times, it was not safe to travel. Problems troubled the people of every land. Nation fought against nation and city against city, for God was troubling them with every kind of problem. But as for you, be strong and courageous, for your work will be rewarded. So that's the prophetic message that Asa gets after this great battle and great victory. He did right. God came through. He's excited. And in the moment when his faith is high, God comes along and says, hey, I love this. Let's keep doing this together. You did right, Asa. Well done, son. Good job. And listen to how Asa responds to this. This prophetic message bolsters his faith. He gets so encouraged and strengthened by it. He's like, I did good. I did good. Like God just told me I did right. He's like, I'm going to do it more then. I'm going all the way with this covenant God thing. And then it says, when Asa heard this message from Azariah the prophet, he took courage and removed all the detestable idols from the land of Judah and Benjamin and in the towns he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And listen to this. He repaired the altar of the Lord, which stood in front of the entry room of the Lord's temple. Then Asa called together all the people of Judah and Benjamin. Those were the people that he had authority over. Lost my spot. Along with the people of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, who had settled among them, for many from Israel had moved to Judah during Asa's reign when they saw that the Lord, his God, was with him. The people gathered at Jerusalem in late spring during the 15th year of Asa's reign. On that day, they sacrificed to the Lord 700 cattle and 7,000 sheep and goats from the plunder they had taken in the battle. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and soul. This is good. This is really good. Asa is the man. At this point, I'm going, Asa, you are the man. Finally, a good king comes along. And he does right and calls on the Lord. God comes through and says, I like this. Let's keep doing this. And Asa's like, oh, you like that? I did good. I want to keep doing good. Let's do more of it. And he calls the people together. He's getting rid of the idols. He says, guys, as the king, all of us, we're making a covenant. We're going to seek the Lord with everything we are. Then they agreed that anyone who refused to seek the Lord, the God of Israel, would be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They shouted out their oath of loyalty to the Lord with trumpets blaring and ram's horns sounding. Here's the fruit. All in Judah were happy about this covenant, for they had entered into it with all their heart. They earnestly, I love that word, sought after God, and they found him. And the Lord gave them rest from their enemies on every side. Isn't that good? That's so good. If only it would have ended there. Second Chronicles 16, 1 through 10. Let's pick up the story. So that was in the 15th year of King Asa's reign. So then in the 36th year of his reign, so that's what, 21 years later. So they're doing good for 21 years. They have rest from all their enemies. They're seeking the Lord. They're honoring God. And he actually begins, God prospers them. They begin to do really well. They get comfortable. And then 21 years later, in the 36th year of Asa's reign, King Baasha of Israel, so that's the northern kingdom of Israel, had a king called King Baasha. That king invaded Judah and fortified Ramah in order to prevent anyone from entering or leaving King Asa's territory in Judah. Now listen to this. Here's what happened. So I told you, you got the northern kingdom and then King Asa's kingdom, Judah, right, that he's ruling over. In the 36th year, this king of Israel, they mustered forces and they invaded part of the territory of Judah and they took over some of their towns. And the reason they did it is because the king over here of this other country that we'll read about in a second, Israel, King Baasha, and this king had made a covenant, a treaty together. The king of Israel is like, hey, why don't you back me up with your army? Because you're like one of the most powerful armies in the world at that point. He says, you back me up, and then I'll invade these guys, and we're going to have the upper hand. We're going to have the greater army, the greater power, the greater resource. You guys following me? So remember the first time there was an army of a million people, the Ethiopians. Asa called on the Lord and God rescued him. So how was Asa going to respond this time when it's Israel and I believe the Arameans? It says, verse 2, Asa responded by removing the silver and gold from the treasures of the temple of the Lord and the royal palace. He sent it to King Ben-Hadad of Aram. That's the king over here that was in a treaty with Israel. Because the northern kingdom said, hey, you go with us. We're going to give you so much money and you back us up with your army. He's like, yep, sounds good. I'll take your money. Sounds great. And I'll back you up with my army. So then Judah, instead of calling on the Lord, King Asa, this time, he goes to the same king that was aligned with Israel and he says, here, I'll give you more money if you'll break your treaty with them and make one with me instead. Gives them the gold and the silver that was dedicated to the Lord. It was from the temple of the Lord. Instead of calling on the Lord this time, he called on Ben-Hadad, who's an idol-worshipping, not a good guy. Verse 3, he sent this message to the King Ben-Hadad. He said, let there be a treaty between you and me like the one between your father and my father. See, I'm sending you silver and gold. Break your treaty with King Baasha of Israel so that he will leave me alone. Ben-Hadad agreed to the King Asa's request and sent the commanders of his army to attack the towns of Israel. They conquered the towns of Ijon, Dan, Abel, Beth, Maacah, and all the store cities in Naphtali. As soon as Baasha of Israel heard what was happening, he abandoned his project of fortifying Ramah and stopped all work on it. Then King Asa called out all the men of Judah to carry away the building stones and timbers that Baasha had been using to fortify Ramah. Asa used these materials to fortify the towns of Geba and Mizpah. Okay, so here's what happened, right? What happened? Ben-Hadad's like, yeah, sure, I'll take the more money. I mean, he has no loyalty to either one of these guys. He's in it for himself. He's like, sure, I'll take more money. I'll break my treaty with Israel. And so he attacks Israel instead. King Baasha of Israel's like, what? Like, my ally is now my enemy. You're attacking me. So he has to pull out of Judah and instead, you know, goes over here because of the battle that's happening with Aram. You guys tracking with all that? Okay. So then it looked like it worked. Then Judah, he retakes these cities that had been captured, right? And he kind of builds them up and fortifies them again so that they can't be retaken again by the king of Israel. So here's the deal. It looks like his strategy worked, doesn't it? Outwardly, if you were in his kingdom, you might be like, man, we have such a shrewd, wise king. I mean, he acted quickly, got that silver and gold from the temple of the Lord. He went to the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, and he made that deal with him, and whoo, it worked. We got our cities back. We're okay. We built it back up. Now we're not feeling threatened anymore. It looks like it worked, but I'm telling you, it failed miserably. I felt the fear of the Lord when I read this story, actually, a couple weeks ago. So I'm like, God, I don't want there to be times in my life where I look to idols, where I lean on the arm of the flesh instead of relying on the Lord, and it looks like it works in the short term, but the Lord's displeased. Because the goal, honestly, the number one goal, if I'm King Asa, I'm like, the number one goal is not to protect my country. The number one goal is to please the Lord. And if we'll succeed at goal number one, the Lord will protect our country. And similarly in our life, it's like our number one goal is not fill in the blank, to be successful in my career or to get the girlfriend or the boyfriend or the great marriage that I always thought would be so perfect or to get out of a troublesome situation. Those aren't the number one goals. The number one goal is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways, acknowledge, seek, prefer Him, and He will make your path straight. That's the number one goal, is to please the Lord. And when we deviate and we start using our own tools, wisdom, resources to try and manipulate a situation apart from seeking the Lord, that's when we begin to get into error, even if it looks like everything's working great at the time. This is Asa started to drift right here. Because it says what happened. Again, it looks like it works. Remember last time they were coming back happy and the Lord sent the prophet right away with the encouraging message. You did good. Let's keep doing this. This time it looks like it works. And they're kind of like, whew, that was close. It worked out. Okay, we're good. And God sends the prophet again. And the prophet comes to him with a completely different message this time. Thank you. At that time, Hanani the seer came to King Asa and told him, because you have put your trust in the king of Aram instead of in the Lord your God. You see the problem? Because you put your trust in this carnal, fleshly, pagan king instead of looking to me first and putting your trust in me. That was your mistake. This is what he says. You missed your chance to destroy the army of the king of Aram. Don't you remember? Don't you remember what happened to the Ethiopians and the Libyans and their vast army? Don't you remember 21 years ago, Asa? God's like, come on, we did this. I told you. Like, you know better than this. You know me. We have history together. We've done this before. Why? Did you forget how I came through for you the last time this happened? Why did you go to this guy instead of coming to me? He says, don't you remember what happened to their vast army with all their chariots and charioteers? At that time, listen, at that time you relied on the Lord. I feel the pain of that. I really do. Like that, oh God. See, I've been walking with the Lord now for almost 30 years. I could tell you so many miracle stories in my own heart, in my own life, where God has been faithful and God has come through with he's my everything. He's the one who's my source of joy. He's the one who delivers me from my sin. He's the one who blesses me in my relationships. He's the one who gives me favor. He's the one who gives me the anointing and makes me fruitful and gives me wisdom and gives me strength and keeps me from becoming weary, keeps me from falling away and drifting from him into sin. He pulls me back. He's like everything I need. I have story after story where I could tell you and I could sound really good. But when I relied on the Lord and the Lord came through, but I read this story and I'm like, God, I can't rely on yesterday's stories. I have to stay poor in spirit today. I'm like, God, help me not to look to entertainment and media as something that's going to make me happy on the inside and stimulate my excitement on the inside. I'm not looking for a new relationship to give me that adrenaline rush on the inside. It's like, Lord, you are my joy. You are my satisfaction. You are my strength. I don't have to turn to the world for what I get from the Lord. That's the nature of our covenant relationship with God. And just because we did it well in one season doesn't guarantee that we do it right in this season. Are you guys with me? And to me, I love, this is why you need to read the Bible all the time. Because it doesn't matter if you already know stuff. We need to be reminded. And I read this story and I felt the fear of the Lord come on me. And the Lord was like, Jeff, rely on me for I'm your source of happiness. I'm your source of happiness. He says, at that time, you relied on the Lord. I can hear the pain in the heart of the Lord as he says that statement. At that time, you used to rely on me. I miss that with you. I loved that about you. Then he says, and when you did, he handed them over to you. Listen to this. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Oh, that is. Read that. We love that verse, right? Read it in context. Because in context, being fully committed to the Lord is fully relying on the Lord. And not trusting in your own strength. What a fool you have been. From now on, you will be at war. Now then I'm just like, okay, thank you, Lord, for the rebuke. That was the mercy of God because he loved Asa. He sends him the rebuke. Last time he says, you did good, keep going. Asa was like, yeah, okay. This time he was like, you did bad, stop, repent, right? And what Asa should have done right there is he should have humbled himself and said, Lord, I acknowledge I sinned. Forgive me. I didn't seek you first. And the Lord would have forgave him like he did King David when David sinned. He would have forgave him, and it would have just been a blip on the screen. And could have kept on doing good with the Lord. But instead, this just shows you a window into what had been cultivated over the years, slowly growing inside of King Asa's heart was foolish pride and stubborn independence. And we have to watch for that when the Lord blesses us. Amen? I mean, you know, when we're in a season when the million army is coming against us, I mean, you don't feel very prideful at that point. You feel desperate. You're like, we're dead unless you bail us out. Help, help, help. Lord's like, yeah, that's good. Humility, right? But then the Lord blesses you and he gives you favor. And you got riches stored up. And because he loves you, he likes you, he blesses you. And sometimes it's easy to forget what got you there. And you start thinking, well, I'm a pretty good king. I'm pretty smart. Look at how wealthy I am. Look at how happy the people in my kingdom are. We're all getting along. We have peace. All my enemies are at peace with me. And you start thinking it's because of you instead of the Lord's favor and hand of blessing upon your life because you rely fully and trust in the Lord. And you start getting away from that and you see right here the rebuke comes from the Lord. Instead of humbling himself, he responds, Asa became so angry with Hanani, the prophet, for saying this that he threw him into prison. And put him in stocks. At that time, Asa also began to oppress some of his people. Do you guys see it? Let's go to the next scripture. 2 Chronicles 16, 11 through 14. The rest of the events of Asa's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign. So this is 3 years after that event, right? 3 years after he did wrong and he got rebuked and he responded badly to the rebuke. We can see from this instance that he still didn't learn the lesson from the rebuke. He still is not looking to the Lord first. He's still relying on the arm of the flesh. Because it says right here, in the 39th year of his reign, Asa developed a serious foot disease. Yet even with the severity of his disease, he did not seek the Lord's help, but turned only to his physicians. Isn't that an interesting verse? Now, there's nothing wrong with seeking the medical assistance of physicians. There's nothing wrong with that. That wasn't the problem with what Asa did. It wasn't that he sought help from physicians. It's that he didn't seek the Lord first. You guys get it? So we turn to the Lord, our healer, and we call upon the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with getting medical assistance, etc. But his problem here is that he didn't even think about it. Just went straight to what he could do in his own natural strength and didn't even think about calling on the Lord. So he died in the 41st year of his reign. He was buried in the tomb he had carved out for himself in the city of David. He was laid on a bed perfumed with sweet spices and fragrant ornaments, and the people built a huge funeral fire in his honor. So again, this is another instance of Asa's late life tendency to rely on the arm of the flesh rather than the Lord. I read Asa's story. To me, it's like inspiring and tragic, right? It's like inspiring. He did so good at the beginning, but he didn't finish well. How many of you want to finish well? Amen? That this is a big deal. We live for eternity. We live for the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before the Lord after we die, every one of you. You're going to stand before Jesus himself, and you're going to give an account for your life. Did you rely on him and seek to honor him? Or did you rely on the arm of the flesh and seek the things of the world and to gratify your fleshly carnal desires? And we all know tragic stories, even in our own day, of people who started out well. They were on fire for God. They led all these people to the Lord. And then they end up, found out they had an affair. They were embezzling money from their church. They're embezzling money from their company. You guys with me? This is my theory. My opinion is I don't think most people, when they first start out, they have this intention of being a corrupt person. But I think what happens is they drift from relying on the Lord as they get sucked up and caught up into life, whatever arena they're in, and they learn the system. They learn to work the system. They learn the tricks of the trade. Well, just make an alliance with this person or just do this, and we learn to kind of get by, and it looks like it works even for a period of time, but our hearts are drifting away from calling on the Lord. And the Lord becomes less and less a part of our daily dependence, our relationship with the Lord. And it starts to drift and become this thing like, oh, we do that once a week, instead of our daily bread. And I think God's gracious, because he the Holy Spirit within us, he's fighting for our greatness. He's fighting for us to have an excellent finish. It's the will of the Lord that we finish strong. Amen? I want to finish strong. And so he allows us to read things like this in the Bible and learn from the examples of others. And it should get us to respond, not by, shut that preacher up. Put him in prison. Put him in the stocks. Let's not read that Bible passage. That's not a good one. Let's read a happy verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. You know, let's just focus on the happy verses. And instead, we need to humble ourselves, because he's for us. He's not against us. And we just say, God, I need you. Like, I need you, Lord. I'm nothing apart from you. I'm nothing apart from you. I think one of the kindnesses of God is there's times he allows us to go through seasons of trial and difficulty and suffering. You know why? It gets us back to our roots. It gets us aware of our need of him again. It takes us back to square one, back to the fundamentals that we call on the Lord. We need to praise God for seasons of shaking. They're an opportunity to go back to our roots. Amen? And get stronger in the Lord. So he's building us up for another season of blessing to come. Amen? All right. I'm going to just pray together. Why don't you can stand with me. I need you, Lord. I need you every hour. I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to I need you, Lord, I need you every hour. I need you. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to you. I want you to just in your heart, just talk to the Lord. Had this conversation with him. Where's an area of your life where you've been looking to for something that only God can give you? And just say, God, forgive me. I look to you again. You're my source. When people ask you, how did you get free from drugs? Don't tell them, oh, James River Church is so awesome. Don't tell them that. The Lord delivered you from drugs. Don't tell them, oh, it's AA, it's the 12-step program is the key. It's like, no, it's not. Jesus set you free from drugs. How did your family get so blessed? Don't tell them, well, I read this great book and I just put into practice what I learned. Tell them, it's the Lord. The Lord has blessed my children. The Lord has given me favor. The Lord has covered my sins. God, we look to you. How did your business get so successful? How did your church, how does your church love each other so well and all these people coming to the Lord? You must be amazing. The Lord blessed us. It's God. It's Jesus. We've gone through seasons of difficulty and seeming barrenness many times. And we've gone through seasons of excitement and fruitfulness, and then we go right back into another season of pruning, and then we come out of the season of pruning into another season of fruitfulness. I mean, we go through it all, but it's the Lord. Don't tell them, well, Jeff and Autumn, it's because they're such good pastors. No, it's not. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. The Lord gave you your brilliant mind. Father, we love you. Just recalibrate. I just want to take a moment. We got a few moments. I finished early. Just recalibrate your heart right now. Maybe it'd be nothing that God's bringing to mind. You may just be like, you're doing great, honestly. And the Lord's like, yeah, you're doing good in this. Then just say, thank you, Lord. Help me. Help me to keep relying on the Lord. When you're searching the earth to and fro for at least someone whose heart is fully committed to you, God, let me be one of those people. Let me be one of those, God. We rely on the Lord. We rely on the Lord. I remember a season a few years ago, I was really battling bitterness in my heart. Like really battling it. It was a major spiritual battle. And I knew I needed to forgive. And I just kept forgiving and kept forgiving, but the bitterness wouldn't go away. I'd have a little reprieve and it seemed better for a few weeks, and then something would happen and all the bitter feelings would come right back to the surface, and I'd be like, oh my goodness. When am I ever going to get free? And I remember I went to this person. I heard like, hey, they're really anointed in inner healing and ministering inner healing. I'm like, oh, man, I'll go to them. And I went to them and I'm like, but I didn't really get better. I'm like, I'll listen to some teachings on this and they'll get better. And that was my way of seeking the Lord. So that wasn't wrong to do that. But I remember like about 6 months in, I was so frustrated. I was in my own God time. I was praying, reading my Bible. I was like, God, I'm like, come on. This has been like probably about seven months at that point that I've been in this battle. I'm like, and I don't feel like I'm gaining ground. I just feel like I'm, you know, like a drowning person that's got like this 20-pound weight on their leg. And they're just everything just back under. That's what I felt like. I'm like, I need you to cut this thing off of my leg so I can swim again and stay above water. And I'm like, God, what am I going to do? And I was frustrated. And then I get this great idea that just pops into my mind. I'm like, wait a minute. He's the Lord, my deliverer. Like, he delivered me from sexual immorality when that was debilitating sin in my life. He delivered me from cussing when that was a debilitating sin in my life. He delivered me from all these other things. He can deliver me from this. I'm like, and I, at that point, I'm just like, I'm going on a fast. And I'm coming straight to you, the source. And I'm like, God, show me your glory again as a deliverer. You said you're my deliverer. I believe it. I'm coming to you. I have no other option. Deliver me. Keep your word for the glory of your name. And you know what? I went on the fast, and I think it was the first day of the fast. Broke it. It was over. I had victory over it at that point. Father, I just pray that you would speak to us and strengthen us in the fear of the Lord and help us to fully rely on you. And we thank you for it, God. We want to relate to you in this way. God, we want to walk closely with you all the days of our lives. We just thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the victories you've brought forth in us. If you're here and you're like, I don't know Jesus and I'm not living for him, but I want to repent and get right with God and I want to start living for Jesus like now. If that's you, I just want you to hold your hand up in the air. Because we're going to pray for you. Okay, we got one, Jeremiah back there. Who else? Somebody else raise your hand. I just want you to keep your hand up in the air if you raise your hand, because we're going to actually pray for you. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, it's not a shame. This isn't a shameful thing. The shameful thing is to put on the pride and the mask and say, yeah, I'm awesome, when you're not. And then have it revealed that the judgment, they were faking it. You might as well be real. Amen? It's a good thing. Yeah, awesome. I want you to gather around those who have their hands lifted up. Those, the rest of you who are around them, who are believers, gather around them, and I want you to pray with them just to rededicate their life to trusting in and serving the Lord. Amen. Go ahead. You can pray for them. Can we just put on some worship music in the background? We're just going to take a few minutes to do this, and then we're going to have a baptism in a little bit. Hallelujah. If there's anyone that needs healing or deliverance, maybe you're struggling with bitterness and you're like, I need, the Lord's my healer. The Lord's my deliverer. And you need that. Hold up your hand if you need healing and you want, and we'll pray with you for that too as well. Or deliverance for something. Is anybody needs a breakthrough? Danny's back there. Somebody, believers who are around him, gather around Danny and agree with him in prayer for the breakthrough. That only the Lord, it's only the Lord. Amen. The Lord is faithful. God of the breakthrough. God of the breakthrough, we declare breakthrough right now. We declare breakthrough in the heart, in the battle of the heart to love God. Lord, we call upon the Lord. You alone, God, you alone can help us to keep loving you more than anything or anyone. God, in the battle of the heart, we call upon the Lord to give us victory. You alone, oh God. No one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. God, give us victory in the battle of our hearts. In the battle over sin, you are our healer. You are our deliverer, Jesus. We call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, we call upon your name. Save us. Heal us. Deliver us. You're our provider, Lord. We call upon your name, Jesus. God, we ask you for the provision. We ask you for the provision. Help us, Lord. We need your guidance. You're the Lord, our guide, our good shepherd. Father, give us the guidance that we need. Let us hear your voice. Lead us, Lord. Lead us. We don't know the way to go. You know the way. We look to you. We follow you. Lead us. God, we just pray for deliverance, healing, salvation. Break in, Lord. Want to just be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just hold up your hand for that too. God, surround people who are holding up their hands and just pray for them. Fresh encounter, just to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we look to you. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us, Lord. We are your people. You alone are our God. We look to you, Lord. Heal us. Deliver us. Fill us, God. Lead us. We are your people. Healing, 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 healing right now, Lord. Healing. You're the Lord our healer. You are the Lord our healer. Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord our healer.